What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited.
Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you. And that's why we're ready to do this show.
Vegas Scores and Odds presents the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now. That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman. And if it is Wednesday, that means it's VegasScoresAndOdds.com presents the Mike North Advantage. That means Mike will give you three free picks for tonight's action. And we're going to talk about the Cubs and White Sox. We'll get Mike's take on those Chicago Bulls draft picks. And I want to know from Mike if he thinks it's a good idea to lay a few bucks down on Mitch Trubisky becoming the MVP player for 2019, particularly because one sportsbook in Vegas has him at 200-1 odds. And I'm wondering, what Chicago sports story would you like to see realized as a major motion picture? I've got a couple of suggestions. Let us know more in the chat room. Let's bring in Mike now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
Oh, it's good to talk to you, Aldo, as always. We had a well-deserved Monday off. We're back today. And you know what? We'll talk about all that great stuff that you just brought up. But first, I want to just tell everybody, I've been about 500 the last 2 weeks on Vegas Scores and Odds. I've won three in a row. Then I lose two in a row. I win two in a row. Then I lose three in a row. I win four in a row. Then I lose four in a row. It's been one of those runs, yet I've done good on Barroom. I've done good. Of course, I went undefeated Friday night on the odds couple in on Yurko and Carmen, 6-0. That's nothing new to Bears Barroom. Vegas Scores and Odds on the show. We're like 14 over 500. We win every week. So I'm going to tell you right now, I got a couple plays up now. Punch this number in for you guys. And we'll also have three picks later on our Vegas Scores and Odds picks of the week. Call 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicap site in the country, VegasScoresAndOdds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need. We got great handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan. I mean, there's a bunch of them. Got some new guys going up there. They're improving the site. It's just outstanding. I'll read you some of the records off later of not only myself but everybody else out there. So check out the front page, and you can check it out early. Vegas Scores and Odds for the tote board. And follow. We're up to 516. We were at 480 when we started the show. We're up to 516. Appreciate it. Doesn't hurt. They put up my tweets there, too. Sometimes it gives you the inside stuff at VSAO pick packages that range from daily to weekly to monthly. So 1-800-808-3419 for that free pick. That's 1-800-808-3419. And here he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's back. Bigger than ever. It is Aldo Gandia. What's up, Aldo?
Mike North, lots of NBA news. Kevin Durant has said that he is going to not exercise the $31.5 million contract, one-year deal with the Golden State Warriors, and instead is going to become a free agent. He is said to be in New York as we speak. Do you think he's going to become a net, or what do you think is going on with Kevin Durant?
Well, you know what? I will tell you this. Yeah, I think I would take the $31 million for this year.
Yeah.
I don't get what that is. Then aren't you a free agent the next year?
Exactly.
So I'm trying to figure that out, but, you know, maybe because of luxury tax situations, where you want to be,
Maybe the New York Knicks will not have enough salary cap money. Maybe he wants to know where his new home's going to be. Maybe he wants to try. Maybe he wants to start a training regiment with the new team. He wants to go from scratch. He doesn't think maybe it's fair to the Warriors, which I think is, you know, something. He knows he's going to get his money somewhere else. The Warriors helped him, folks, as much as he helped them. Mm-hmm. I want that plain and simple out there. They were champions before him. He wasn't. So it's common sense, folks. Don't make me get up, please. He helped them. They helped him. So maybe it's a mutual thing. I think he'd go to the Knicks before the Nets. But it's the same market, basically, right, Aldo? And what does the market need? I'll tell you what. If the Nets get them and the Knicks don't, that's bad for the Knicks.
Right.
Well, they're a storied franchise.
Yep.
The Nets have always been the little brother. And if he goes there and Kyrie Irving joins them,
mm-hmm.
now you got something else. Then you got really two guys that will say, okay, which one of these 10 guys can we blame when we don't win? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well,
so
he can,
I think it's going to be interesting.
He can still go to the Warriors, and perhaps what he's doing is playing his hand and becoming a free agent so that he can instead sign a five-year, $221 million deal. That's the max deal he can sign with the Warriors. Or if it doesn't work out, then it would be a $164 million deal.
He's going to sign with the Warriors then.
Yeah, I think so,
There's
too.
There's no way in hell. Let me tell you something. Kevin Durant goes somewhere else, his title days are over. Okay? Because he knows this. His leg is not the leg of a man his age.
Right.
It's the leg now of a man 5 years or 7 years older. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he's had two injuries to that leg. And if the Warriors are willing to give him that money, and he's done a lot for them, and they've done a lot for him, and they do feel a little bit responsible, even though he is as responsible as anybody that got hurt, I think he's staying with the Warriors.
I think that's a good bet. I think that with the fifth year that he would get from Golden State, it's a sit-out year. He's got to rehab that Achilles, and you're absolutely right.
Right.
At his age, there's no way that he's going to come back exactly as the same player. He may have to remake himself into a different player. We'll see. But it seems to me like the Warriors owe him that money, but we shall see. It's going to be
interesting. They owe him, and you know what? They don't know it. They could let him go tomorrow, and he's doomed, in my opinion, if he goes somewhere else and tries to be the old guy. Because we saw him make a simple basketball move when everybody else thought he was okay,
yeah.
And he blew a tire.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Very true.
So I'm going to just say, if they're going to help each other. This isn't all about Kevin Durant. This is about the class of Golden State. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's teams that we want to get out of this contract.
Yeah. Very
right?
true. Yes. That's
you know
true.
That as well as I do. You've been around as long as I have, Els. You know the teams in the NBA that would be trying to weasel out of this deal. Now, and you know what? They won championships with him. They think a lot of him. They like him. They love him. You saw what Curry did. He walked in the locker room with him and Klay Thompson. And you know what? I just think there's too much love there. I think Golden State loves him. They're going to be opening a brand new arena. Mm-hmm. Of course, he won't be there as far as in uniform,
right.
But he'll be there to be there and be on the sidelines. So I think he signs with them, but stranger things have happened.
NB Dub asked the question, can the Warriors sign and then trade him with that five-year contract deal? And, of course, yeah, they can. Yeah.
Yeah. They could trade him, but right. You know what? That's not going to happen, folks.
I don't think so.
I heard Iguodala say that he's not going anywhere. I believe Iguodala. Mm-hmm. And he talks to KD. God, I'm getting soft. I called him KD like he's a lifelong friend. But seriously, I'm using initials like a millennial. It's so easy. I don't have to use the whole nerd word because it exhausts me. You know how hard it is to say Kevin Durant? Ooh, how about if you say KD? It's so much simpler. And it saves you wear and tear. That's why J-Lo or Jennifer Lopez, A-Rod or Alex Rodriguez. I'll tell you, when I say Alex Rodriguez, I get a little tired. I like A-Rod. It's easy. And don't make me say Antetokounmpo or whatever his name is. He's the Greek freak.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. All right, before we talk... Right? Absolutely. I, as long as you don't say OMG, oh my God, and then...
No, but you know what? LOL.
Before we talk about the Bulls, that is first two draft picks, I want to get your thoughts on the NBA. They're in serious discussions about perhaps reducing the amount of the 82-game regular season. There's a lot of moving parts associated with that, with local teams having signed contracts with TV stations and so forth. But they're thinking about maybe having a midseason tournament or something like that. But reducing that 82-game season, because we're seeing like players, Kawhi Leonard, missing 10, 20 games for what they called load management, so that they can prepare for the long season.
They'd miss 20 games and play 40.
Well. That's probably so.
I mean, you know what? These guys, wait. Don't tell me you want $220 million and you're cutting the games. Mm-hmm. Just don't do that, because that would tell me you don't understand about business. And by the way, don't talk to me, because I'm not an owner anymore. I am now known as Sergeant Reinsdorf, and this is my deputy, John Paxson. I mean, the nonsense. They finally have gone off the deep end that you can't, or because of racial sensitivity? Wait a minute. They're going to pay Kevin Durant $220 million. Mm-hmm. And you don't want the owner who's you don't want the guy who's contracting him that mm-hmm. kind of money to be known as an owner? They finally have gone off the deep end. I don't care if they play 20 games. I don't care if they play 40. I love watching basketball. I'm done getting upset with unreasonableness and load management when you're asking for $200 million. It's nonsense. And by the way, there are people that got hurt plenty that had their minutes watched this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, LeBron James has watched his minutes. But here's what killed the Warriors. They played 120 extra games over the last 5 years.
Right.
That is a season and a half of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So, this nonsense that Kawhi Leonard can't play over 60 games or he might go down is nonsense. It's just that. But if you're going to go deep into the playoffs like Golden State did, and sure, players are going to break down when they're playing an unreasonable amount of games each year for five straight years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very good point.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, we're going to have a box of steaks delivered to your home, and courtesy of our fine radio station here. Thank you so much for listening. My guy. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't care what they do. They've gone off the deep end. A guy works his whole life, buys an NBA team, becomes owner, and you can't say owner anymore. I mean, I was just appointed admiral of my automobiles yesterday. I'm an admiral now. I told BB I want to be known, and I'm not the owner of my house anymore. No, I don't have a mortgage. When you call me about my mortgage or what's going on, please ask for the governor of the home, please.
I asked the question.
Unbelievable.
I asked the question about the 82-game regular season, and 51% said that the season is too long, even for the fans. 12%
said... Yeah, but 49% said it isn't.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, that 1% ain't going to drive me. It's 50-50.
No. I had three parts to the question. 12% said don't touch a thing, and 37% said I don't care. So 51% said it's too long. That's kind of a big majority there. So I in the chat room, Heart4803 says leave it at 82 games. Coaches are paid.
Yeah.
They should pace their players.
Why did you put three categories? You want 82 games or not? Because you split the vote. You went Harold Washington on me.
Yeah.
You went Harold Washington on me with Daly and Berg. You split the vote, and now you're trying to use that for your little. I know how you are, Aldo. Me and you are, I think, along the same lines. What was the one you said? One for 82 games, one without. What was your third category?
That I don't care, because we've got so many football fans who are only
the
football
I don't
fans.
Care is at 37%.
37%.
When they're not on every night.
Right.
When they're on twice a week, they don't care.
I think that it says a lot about who follows our account. We've got a lot of football fans, and only football fans, who follow our at Bears Barroom account.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I think if you had, I think it'd be almost 50-50 if you only had the two.
Probably.
The two things. That's just my opinion, and it was close. But the I don't care, that's basically what I said, too. So I'm sort of being hypocritical. I said, I don't care. I don't care what they do. They've gone off the deep end. The NBA, load management, and you want $250 million. Yeah, you gotta take some. You gotta play for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's forgotten about the fans in this, except the people that you know. The owners gotta have those games to pay the players.
Yep, exactly, exactly.
Hey,
I mean,
how many fast foods joints are open 4 days a week, and then have to pay for seven?
Yeah.
You think McDonald's open 4 days a week? They're open around the clock, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is true. It is true. Kobe.
I don't know what that meant, but I saw that throw. Maybe McDonald's is listening, and they'll throw us a bone.
With the seventh pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the Chicago Bulls select Kobe White from the University of North.
That's Kobe White. He was selected by the Bulls with the first overall pick. Kobe White is from North Carolina. He's 6'5", awfully fast. What are your thoughts about this player?
Neither guy can shoot. That's the problem. The problem is neither guy can shoot. They're 40%, 42% shooters. Reading the media accounts, I thought they basically drafted Pete Maravich and Lou Alcindor. Because they're trying to put a stiff upper lip here. They want athletes. I want basketball players. So we have a little disagreement. I want guys that are basketball players that are good athletes, not athletes that might be good basketball players. And that's where me and Mr. Paxson have a little problem. Because I'll guarantee you this. The people that are writing about these two guys never saw them even play. You know, how many times did you mention these two guys during the college basketball season, Eldo?
Not a lot. Not anything, actually.
I'm going to tell you, no. I didn't mention them at all. There were bigger fish to fry. These guys are good. One's an honorable All-American. Look, I don't want to rain on their parade. Good luck to you. I've been paid my whole life to give my opinion. My opinion is they're good eighth and ninth guys in a rotation down the line. Period. What? I don't know what you want me to say about a second-round pick. We can't even get first-round picks that are any good. So hopefully, if I'm going to lean towards one guy, it's going to be White. He comes from good pedigree. The other guy was a four-star athlete. I would have preferred five. He was pursued, Gabbard, by Florida, by Vanderbilt, by other very good programs. The thing that distresses me about him, they showed a highlight of him on social media today. Everyone was a dunk.
Yeah.
Everyone was a dunk. He can't shoot. The one guy's not bad. The North Carolina kid, White, 80% from the free throw line, but the other guy can't shoot.
Right. Well, this is what Kobe White said on Bulls TV when he was asked about the transition to the NBA.
Transition will go smoothly just because I'm already fast and I'm already strong and I'm big for my position and I have a mindset that mentality, like a killer mentality. So I'm just here to get better. I know it's going to be an adjustment period like all everybody else is coming into the league. And I know I have to adjust to it, but I think I'm going to hit a wall or whatever they call it. And I think I'm ready to run through it head on and face any adversity that comes my way.
The city
has got a great attitude, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's important. He doesn't sound afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. All of a sudden, things are changing again. I'm hearing Zach LaVine might be gone. Are we changing again?
There's a big rumor about that. You're absolutely right. That Zach
LaVine
is on the
move. Yeah, I mean, what's going on? This guy was supposed to be, he's 23, 24 years old. Are they changing their, are they going to go again with another rebuild with different guys? What's happened? That's all I want to know. I'm as confused as any Bull fan. And you know what? There's not a whole lot of buzz about these two guys. Let's hope they work out. I mean, I'll be honest with you. They've made some good picks in the past. Jimmy Butler was a great pick. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And some other guys. Joakim Noah was a good pick. Derrick Rose fell into their lap. A good pick. Who's the big guy that was underneath from USC? Really good. Taj Gibson.
Good pick. Yep. Absolutely.
I didn't see him coming. So it's not like picks and Foreman can't pick, but they've been in a little bit of a slump, and they've been in an odd draft position. They hit the home run when Derrick Rose fell on their lap.
Right.
They haven't hit home runs with seventh picks and stuff like that.
Right.
Except for Jimmy Butler. That was a damn good pick, man.
Yes, it was.
Although he's out of his mind, he's going to be on his fifth team. But everybody seems to think he's the guy that can bring you a championship, but I don't see any championships. But I see him joining different teams every year. So you know what he's turned into? I mean, basically, he's turned into a good Edwin Jackson. He's on a different team every year, almost, and he's a good basketball player.
That's a good analogy.
Do you really think Jimmy Butler, if he goes to Houston, is going to win it all?
I think he's going to get into a lot of...
He'll start a fight with Harden before the All-Star break.
Exactly. He will definitely be in some battles with the knuckleheads down there with
right.
the Houston franchise.
I hope the Bulls picks work out. I root for him. I'm like you, Aldo. But I'm paid, and I've been paid for a long time to give my opinion, and I'm not going to gloat like everybody else is. Like, these two guys are no-brainers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason the guy goes in the second round in the draft that isn't that deep.
Yep. Very, very true. I want to get a soundbite in here from Daniel Gafford, the second
sure.
rounder, who is an extraordinary dunker of the basketball, and some yep. people thought he was going to be a first-round pick. So it might be a steal for the Bulls if this kid plays out. Let's see what he said when he was asked what he will bring the Chicago Bulls.
You know, I'm somewhat of a high flyer. I got some crazy athleticism, so to speak, I feel like, you know. So I'm just going to bring, you know, energy, rebounding, defense, you know, another guy to pass to on offense.
Again, another guy with a great attitude, it appears, and a lot of athleticism. Both of these players.
Oh, you know what? There's no doubt he's going to bring something to the NBA that's been missed. Athleticism and dunking. I mean, come on. Give me a break. Give me a break. It's like this guy. Look, if it's so damn easy, why didn't you dominate college?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where's your dunk? Because you don't dunk. If you don't, by the way, 43% of his shots were dunks. You're in the big time now. That don't happen, okay? Like it does in college.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be somebody waiting for you, like Jokic or maybe Anthony Davis. Somebody different, okay? I know you played some big-time ball, but, man, when 43% of your shots are dunks, man, you better, and I, you know, somebody said, well, you shot 60%. Shaq's shot over 55%, but he never shot a shot over 4 feet.
Yes, very true.
Jabbar was the guy that would shoot from outside, Ewing. Those guys were shooters. If you're not as big as Shaq, the dunking thing ain't going to work.
Mm. Well, a lot of people are saying that this Bulls team needs more athletic players, guys that can run the court better. So perhaps, you know, these guys are you know, better suited for the type of team Jim Boylan wants to create. And then, you know, another thing is...
So when you run to the other end and shoot and miss, then you got to run to the other end to get on defense.
Exactly.
Then how we're going to work this? I mean, all of a sudden the Bulls... By the way, this should tell you all you need, the folk. No, Zach LaVine won the slam dunk contest, is quicker than hell.
Mm-hmm.
Is very athletic, and they want to ship him.
That is the rumor.
Which way are we going?
That is the
Don't
rumor.
Don't tell me you want to be athletic when you got a guy that I just described to Eldo.
Mm-hmm.
God, am I good today. I just described this to Eldo. A guy that can actually play basketball and has athleticism and is quick is Zach LaVine. And mm-hmm. they can't wait. And now I'm hearing they might ship him. The bunch of, they don't know what they're damn doing over there.
The Gar Pax hatred, not hatred, criticism by Mike North continues. You don't hate
those
guys.
What am I supposed to do? I look at 22 wins. They're telling me they want to be athletic. They want to ship their most athletic player, Zach LaVine. I don't get it.
It's like the Chris Sale trade.
Well, you know what? By the way, Boston's beating the White Sox, so they're going to bail out Chris Sale. But I want to just say this real quick. Because Boston's leading 7-6 right now in the top of the ninth with one out and a man on first with Abreu up. So, you know, we're not done yet. But Ronaldo Lopez, I know he gave up 9 hits. But if he would have had a bad day today, I think he was in trouble. This was a big outing for him, at least to give him some more time to go to Fenway Park, duel, you know, a good pitcher, and to come out ahead when he left.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And I got to tell you, Mike, my heart is breaking right now. If the Sox don't come back to win this game after having a lead against the Boston Red Sox for the second straight day and blowing it, I'm ready to cry. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, what's going on with you is that I know this. You had a lot at stake because you don't make a lot of predictions.
I don't.
You leave usually go that, but when you make predictions, they hit. Like with the Bears and with the White Sox. I liked your prediction of 500. The problem is, and I brought this up 2 weeks ago, guys, and everybody remembers it.
Uh-oh.
I'm sure.
Wait a minute.
Get
out of there! Yes!
That's the right call. I almost called it. I should have just said he's going to over. I said it's not over.
Thank you, Mike Love. Thank you. We start.
We're live here, ladies and gentlemen. Pandemonium. The White Sox just get a 2-run homer off Abreu's bat, and now they go 8-7. It was about a 400-foot shot over left field, 165th career homer, right down the pike.
Beautiful.
The pitcher, whoever he is so mad because he put it where he shouldn't have. It was like a batting practice pitch, and Abreu did what good players do, knocked it out. So we were ready to bury the White Sox, but I did have that caveat. We still got a shot. Abreu's up, and basically that's exactly what happened.
That is outstanding. Outstanding, outstanding job, Mike North, of telling our followers exactly what happened. And you were right. I thought when you were talking before the home run, I thought that you were going to make that prediction by the way you were framing your words, and then you didn't. And then
you know what I said, though? We're not done yet. Abreu's up. That's good enough for me because he did what I think he's capable of. Huge win. If they end up winning this now, they still got to go. They're going out to get the pitcher. They're going to get somebody new in.
Right.
And then, because this didn't exactly work out and for Alex Cora, and then they're going to go to the bottom of the ninth. But if this win happens, okay, it breaks the spell. But what I was going to say before he did hit the homer is, look, they're not going to play the Royals in Baltimore every week. The thing I've liked about this team is they've beaten the teams they're supposed to. And what really exposed them was when they were at home and beat the Yankees two in a row. They should have won one of the next two, and they couldn't get it done. And since that time against good teams, they get beat. Today would be sweet, would be nice, but I think it's going to be tough for them to finish 500 because their pitching is just too spotty.
You're absolutely right about that, and we will see if Rick Hahn is going to make any moves. Because this team, Kenny Williams.
You mean Kenny Williams?
Exactly.
I found some strings. It was Rick Hahn's marionette strings. They almost tripped me last night.
I knew you were going to say
I'm going to make a Rick Hahn puppet. You know, the kind that you get behind the screen with the strings, the marionettes?
You make them. I'll sell them outside of White Sox Park.
Sell them outside. We'll be arrested. We'll be arrested for selling Rick Hahn marionette puppets.
That's fabulous.
I think we got to find a guy to make us about 10 of those. We'd make a fortune if we sell them out.
That would be
unfortunately
awesome.
Getting there in two. It would take us 2 hours. We'd burn the gas. Got Taylor in for Boston. Now that the horse has left the barn.
I love it.
Now, buddy.
I love it. All right, let's hope.
Yep.
Let's hope they hold on, and we will move on to it. We're halfway through the show, and you know what that means, Mike.
Yes.
You know what that means.
Oh my God, I'm all excited. Yeah! I don't know. Who won this, I believe. On fire. Like nobody's business. About 13, 14 games. Look, I'll let you know when I lose on Bears Barroom or Vegas Scores and Odds, okay? Basically. And by the way, Vegas Scores and Odds, let's talk about them really, really quick because these guys are outstanding guys, number one. They've been around for a long, long time. They're as good as it gets when it comes to getting the word out. Follow them at VSAO. Make sure you follow these people because I'm going to tell you something right now. They got top handicappers. In fact, I'm going to go to their page right now and I'll read up a couple of guys. Tony Sokol, 4-2 last 6 days. MLB, here's an MLB power play. tonight. Dennis Macklin, the Mac Attack, went 2-0 on Tuesday with the easiest kind of run. I wish I would have been the Mac Attack because I didn't do that. Oddsfather for free winners. Just call the VSAO free hotline. And then we got Hollywood, who's on fire at 4-2. Dennis Macklin, 11-7. All sports, last 30 days, Hollywood at 22-9, Vegas Pipeline. I have not been one of the top four guys. All time, I'm second, 1476 and 1290. I've made $1,000 bettors, $43,750 over a five-year span. Hockey, number one, 46 and 30. College football, number two at 160 and 137. NFL, 219 and 191. I'm top four in all these categories, folks. So go to Vegas Scores and Odds, 1-800-808-3419. Call them up right now. Ask for information on packages and everything else that we have there. Follow us at VSAO. I want to see us with more than 516 when I go to this thing tomorrow. Follow it, folks, because sometimes they give out free picks you don't even know about. I'm giving them out to the people there. All right, I'm ready to give out my free picks, of which solid gold, wouldn't you say, out so far?
Solid, solid gold.
Solid gold. Remember Solid Gold with Marilyn McCoo? Oh, did I love Marilyn McCoo.
Oh, yes.
Oh, here we go. I did. I interviewed her on The Score, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, I loved her. When she was doing Solid Gold,
yes,
she was on. I got her.
Nice.
I go, Jesse, get me Marilyn. Jesse Rogers, get me Marilyn McCoo. He got her.
Damn.
Great girl.
Beautiful, too.
I interviewed Chuck the other day. Chuck Connors was on.
Mm-hmm.
They had a thing about Chuck Connors on social media, on Twitter and other things, that he was one of the first two sport athletes, played for Brooklyn, played for the Cubs, played for the Boston Celtics,
right,
and then became the Rifleman. Not a bad run.
Great actor.
But I had an hour and a half interview with him on The Score. So he's got the all-time one interview record over there. Outside of Ditka, who was paid. But that was way back in the day when he was still doing his thing. All right, here we go, because Aldo's going. Aldo, wake up. Aldo's going, for God's sake. I forgot what we were doing. The music ran out. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's always good to be back with my guy Aldo. And you know what? We win on a regular basis. I'm not bragging. It's just that. Number one tonight, Cubs come back with a vengeance. Dallas Keuchel still doesn't have his sea legs about him. Darvish, to me, is making us forget almost until he has that one inning. Maybe. I don't think he could go past six. He very rarely does. But I believe in him tonight. I'm going to take Darvish with the Cubs at 43-36 against the Braves at 47-33. And they're minus 124 on the money line. All right, then the next pick I'm going to have for everybody, and all you folks out in Las Vegas, hello, how are you? Angels tonight. The Reds with Wark at 36-41. The odds aren't that big. Beria, is the pitcher for the Angels. They're 40-40, so they're just a 500 team. But I'm going to take them at minus 119. So I have the Angels and the Cubs as home favorites tonight. Well, what can you do for us now, Mike? I got one more for you. This is a money line play. A run line play, everybody. So make sure you pay attention to this. The Marlins, okay, are minus 140 against Corbin and the Nationals at Miami tonight. You pay 130 to win 100 to get a run and a half. Take Miami, a 6-10 ball game, all of them are, plus a run and a half at minus 130 for every 100, okay? I plan on betting all these games. I don't ask anybody. The last 2 weeks on Vegas Scores and Odds, people have been 500. So have I. So I feel your pain too, folks. Just stick with me. I'm too much. My record's too good. I don't lose on a consistent basis. I win. And it's like a stock. It's like Colgate. You know what I mean? Procter & Gamble. It's like GE. You know, I'm always going to be there. That's all I'm
going to
tell you. Aldo, back to you.
All right. A perfect segue to our next topic, which is Mitch Trubisky, 200-1 odds to win the MVP, according to a certain sportsbook. At the top of the odds chart, they've got Patrick Mahomes, who was drafted in the same year, at 4-1 odds. Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck come in at second. They're tied to one at 8-1. But they've got Mitch Trubisky way down on their one sheet here, along with players like Packers running back Aaron Jones is also 200-1. I want to first ask you, is this a slap in the face to Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky, or is this just good Las Vegas sportsbooks betting sense?
It's Las Vegas sportsbooks bookies saying he ain't worth a damn.
Really?
Go on. Really? Throw your money at us. Because there's no way that he's winning MVP. Because everybody in Chicago will bet $10 or more on this. Just for the hell of it.
Yep.
Just for the hell of it. I'm going to do it. Because I like Mitch.
Yeah.
I want him to do well, but that's not good news.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a team that's more, Vegas is more sold on as a complete team, a deep team, and a defensive team. Because the guys ahead of him, Mahomes, what is Deshaun Watson? You know, do they have him listed?
Yeah, let me look.
Because he's the guy I wanted, and everybody told me I was nuts. Okay? So if he's not listed, maybe it's just these quarterbacks, you know? Maybe he's not even down there because it's a big list, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, and I can't find his name. I see Khalil Mack at 100-1, but I don't see Deshaun Watson, which I'm
shocked
surprised.
That Deshaun Watson would not be up there. Yeah. It's got to be up there. Let me check the black box. We'll improvise on the flyer.
I will,
what are the odds of Deshaun Watson?
While
being
Mike
MVP?
Checks that out, I will tell you that also on the list is Drew Brees at 10-1, Tom Brady at 10-1. Philip Rivers at 14-1, Russell Wilson at 16-1, Ben Roethlisberger at 25-1, along with Matt Ryan and Baker Mayfield at 25-1. I just think this is a sacrilege to say that Mitch Trubisky's at 200-1. I wonder if these guys have actually seen what Mitch Trubisky has done and the promise that he has shown. It's effing believable.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm looking at this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Deshaun Watson's down low. Cam Newton, Carson Wentz, they don't believe in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not just Mitch.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
If I'm looking at this, it's not just Mitch. I mean, it's an exclusive club. You know, just because you're not going to win MVP doesn't mean that you can't win at all.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, so if Mitch ends up winning 12 games, I don't care if he wins MVP or not. I'm not 11 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about that crap anymore. Yeah. I cared about that. I cared about Peyton making the Pro Bowl and all that stuff when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And Sayers and Butkus making all pro. I don't give a damn about that. I want wins. So if Mitch wins 10 games and we go to the playoffs, I can give two. You know, Rudy Tooty, if he doesn't make the playoffs. You know what I mean? If he doesn't get MVP.
Uh-huh.
I mean, seriously. I like the kid. I want him to do well. I'm not going to let this rain on my parade. But as an odds maker, that's not good news for Bear fans.
Yep.
It isn't.
Yep. Zim,
I'm being straight up.
Zim has told us that it's 60-1 for Watson, and Hart 4803 makes a good point. He says Mitchell is a system quarterback in Vegas' eyes, and that's okay. Just wins is all I care about, which is exactly
right.
What you just said.
And by the way, for the folks that just tried to bury me when I said I wanted Deshaun Watson, he's 60-1. That's not bad. That's not a bad number to put up, folks. You want to make some money. You're not going to make it with the 200-1 shots, whoever they are. Not only Mitch, but others, or 100-1 shots like Khalil Mack, 60-1, 50-1. Maybe I do my long shot method at the end, and maybe we decide on Bears Barroom to put some money down. I'm going to try to win Aldo some money. I feel so guilty. He could have been the highest paid executive producer, owner of any podcast of all time. Of all time.
He
could have bought the Cubs.
I got 10 guys in my backyard now building a fence and laying some concrete in, and I don't even have enough money to offer them some water.
Wait, let me ask you a question. Are you building a wall? That's my buddy building a wall. You know what? Are you building a wall?
You did say that.
Is it a fence or is it a barrier? I can't believe the matches. Let's move on.
I love it.
Oh, God, I loved it.
All
my
right.
Puerto Rican friend.
All right, let's get an update on this White Sox game because there is some drama now. There's a man on first base.
Man on first base, 1-1 count, one out. There's a batter up. Let's go to the announcer. Sox up 8-7. Man on first base takes the lead off. Number 48, whoever the hell he is, looking in. The stretch, right-handed batter, and the pitch. And the ball's fouled off to the right side. New baseball for the young man. Number 7. I mean, I don't know what to do. I mean, you know what? We're on pins and needles over here, right?
It really is. I mean, that's the one thing about...
I don't know who this guy is on the mound, but he's got a tattoo on the forearm. That had to be painful.
I'll tell you one thing about the Chicago White Sox this year. They have been one entertaining baseball team. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
We talked about that. Oh, you and I have had this team, and you've had this team pegged for a long time, but I pegged them too. We pegged them early, but you pegged them before me. There's a line drive, and that's a double play. Oh, he's safe.
Oh,
they might have to take another look at that.
They are going to go to the replay on that because I think he was out at first.
But you know what? The Sox have been battling all year long, and I respect that team because I've seen White Sox teams quit year after year. They don't mirror that Vomit Bucket Bulls franchise owned by the same guy that quit, that dilly-dallies during games. And then they use the excuse of tanking. How dare they? They just suck. This team battles. And they got a future if they don't lose their energy and their zest for the game. That's all I'm going to say.
That is it.
And I like what Renteria has done. He should be manager of the year, but the damn Baldelli ruined everything with Minnesota.
It looks like they are going to go to a replay on that play, Mike. Are you taking a look at this? It looks like...
No, I shut it off. I'm watching TCM. Of course I'm taking a look at it. I'm watching Robert Taylor try to score with Deborah Carr, okay? No, of course I'm watching it. But let's continue the show because they're looking at it. And you know what replay is? Nothing but boredom for the people that watch TV.
It is. It is true.
And he's been called safe, so everything's okay.
Okay, so... Let's hope that we can get a win here. All right, I got a couple of more topics to talk about.
You sound like you're going to have a stroke. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. My God.
All right.
One of our funnier shows.
Mike, I asked some people on Twitter. I asked everybody on Twitter about Chicago sports movies. You know, I came up with a little movie poster and the idea of a movie about Mike Ditka and Jim McMahon and that whole relationship they had, particularly in the mid 80s. It was a tough relationship. There's a ground ball to second base, and this game is over. The White Sox are a winner, Mike.
That's a good news for the White Sox. A great comeback win. Abreu wins the ball game for him with a two-run shot in the ninth inning, so congratulations to the guys. They come back and win. And you know what? It's a big win for them to come back from, and that loss is going to sting the Boston Red Sox. So good job for the guys. I hope they can build on that. As far as a movie is concerned, I saw everything that you guys had up there.
Okay.
And I'd like to do some digging.
Okay.
And do something on Peyton and Sayers.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And what happened to Gale and with Peyton, the dynamic. There was obvious bitterness at times. Mm-hmm. There was Peyton ignoring Sayers, Sayers being ignored by the Bears for a while, Sayers coming back, making a comeback because of the death of Walter and how Sayers ended up taking Walter's place, not on my show.
Mm-hmm.
Not, and that doesn't have to be in the movie, but it sort of illustrates how he was dead because of Walter, and because of Walter's death, he rose again.
I like that.
Yeah, that's one of them that I was using. I tried to find some different angles, and there's not a whole lot of them. I think maybe a relationship, maybe something on, there's not enough stories on George Halas, I don't think. Maybe Halas and Grange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do golf stories on Bobby Jones. There's been very little done on Red Grange. Did you ever notice that?
Absolutely. I have noticed that. And I wonder why, because that was a remarkable story.
A remarkable story. The guy used to deliver ice. He went to the University of Illinois, worked his way through. Kalis saw him, went to Illinois, brought him into the Bears. They sold out stadiums when college football was king. That's another one that I'd like to see done. And then just maybe a Hal Lombardi and Halas got along.
That's another great one.
In the 60s, Lombardi was the king. Even though Halas, when they played each other, was the founder of the league.
Yep.
A really cool dynamic. But, you know, the Ditka McMahon one's a good one. Ditka and Halas.
Mm-hmm.
When he told Halas, you throw nickels around like sewer covers.
Mm-hmm. And then one of the last things.
I did my homework and thought from my head.
Yeah.
But maybe I missed one. Well, we did Bryant's song already.
We did Brian's song. It's actually been done twice. I just saw it when I was doing some research.
Can I tell you something? I told Gail right to his face. You should be. I know, because he was a consultant.
Right.
I go, you're out of your mind. I told him that. And they did it, and it sucked.
It was bad.
It sucked.
It was bad.
I told him, listen to this. We were doing the show, and he goes, Mark, they're going to make a movie. I go, okay. And Gail used to talk. Gail used to talk in deliberate to me.
Right.
Even we had many conversations, like, before the show would start. Mike, yeah, they're making a movie about me. I go, and what, and pick. I go, they did that already. No, they're going to make Brown song, too. I go, Gail, are you involved in this? And he says, I'm a consultant. And I think he might have been a producer or something. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I go, dear Lord on high, do not try to make another Bryant song. It's a legend. And they paid him, though. And, you know, I don't blame Gail. And he did it. And I predicted to him, like, they had a couple unknowns. I said, they're going to get killed. Nobody's going to watch it. Because the other one is a classic. James Caan and Billy Dee Williams?
Yes.
And by the way, did you know Billy Dee Williams was not the original choice?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay. This is what I'm here for, folks, for Bears Barrow. This is a little Bears talk now.
Yes, sir.
Eldo brings me in.
That's right.
for emergency purposes. Do you know he was already, they already did some shooting, and he got hurt. He hurt his knee. Louis Gossett Jr. was the original.
Is that right? Wow.
And that he got hurt. They brought in Billy Dee Williams, and then Billy Dee Williams had a career. Louis Gossett Jr. stalled a little bit until Officer and the Gentleman.
Exactly.
Think, pow, he went. But, man, Louis Gossett Jr. lost a big gig, man.
That's
if you
right.
look it up, and maybe somebody will on the chat board, he was the original choice. And there was a picture of him and Caan in Bear uniforms.
Look at that. Wow, that is
I'm
amazing.
I'm going by memory.
That is very, very good.
But Louis... Billy Dee Williams made his career, and it started basically because of that movie. And it was so good. And, you know, a lot of former Bears were in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, current Bears. Doug Buffon was in it. Ed Obradovich was in it. Jack Warden played Papa Bear Halas. The other one...
Heart 4803 Jack, just typed that out the same time you said it.
Yeah, Jack Warren played Papa Bear Halas.
Right.
Abe Gibran was the coach.
Mm-hmm.
They did the sideline shots. Listen to this. I remember. It was a preseason game
mm-hmm.
at Notre Dame Stadium.
Oh,
and
wow.
they did all the shots like it was a real game.
Right.
From that stadium. And Gary Huff was the quarterback.
Is that
for the
right?
Bears at that time.
Amazing memory there, Mike. Very well done.
Well, and if somebody could find out the Lou Gossett stuff, because I don't forget, I know he was the first one.
Mm-hmm. I am actually going to look that up myself, and I will tell you this. I also want to praise Steven Zim Zimmerman for his idea of doing a theatrical movie on Steve Bartman, the scapegoat of the century, because that really is an intriguing story. This guy's life was dramatically changed by the fact that he interfered with that ball in the 19, whatever it was, baseball playoffs.
So they say. That's the whole reason it's there. But you know what? They're not good. They already did the 30 and 30. They've done documentaries. And if you don't, you'll never get any, you will not get any participation from him. Did I told you about, I almost had him.
No, I didn't.
Almost had him.
Tell me that story.
Well, what happened was, everybody was trying to get him.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this really beautiful and intelligent producer, Jen Patterson. And Jen was a go-getter just like Jesse. Mm-hmm. And Jen said, let's try to get him. I know where he works. I go, where does he work? And then I found out at some place in Northbrook. So I sent Jen there
mm-hmm.
to get him, to meet him when he got out of work. He comes out, and he talks to her, and he says, tell Mike I love the show. Tell him to call my lawyer, and they'll tell him. So she gets back to me.
Okay.
Now, this is the guy everybody wanted. You get this guy, it's national. It may, you know, back in it, it's national. You're all over the place. And nobody's gotten him yet. Apparently, you know I didn't get him because here's what happened. I call his lawyer, great guy.
Uh-huh.
Mike, he loves you, likes the show, loves the... But he's not doing anything, ever.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
Ever. And I said, come on, man. I go, look. I says, he could get his story out. He likes me. He knows it's going to be. Jen met him. Boom. He goes, nope. And this guy got offered money, vacations, and everything else. And I think I came as close as anybody as getting him. But his lawyer told no to everybody. There was no special pretenses by anybody. And then my buddy, I found out he coached my buddy's kid in Little League. And we tried that tact. It didn't work.
Wow.
I think he was coaching in like Northbrook, and it didn't work. We didn't get him, but we tried.
Was that's
a moneymaker there.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Was that because of death threats that he was getting? Do you think that
I think that he feels, in my opinion, I don't know the man, and first of all, I give him credit. He could have cashed in millions.
Big time.
Could have made the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Could have done it all, like you said. But I think he felt bad because he's a lifelong Cubs fan, still likes the Cubs. He did something that was innocent. Moises looked like a little bitch. And he wouldn't have even caught the ball, I don't think. And you know what's amazing now? Because people look at their phones so much, you need to put netting up down 300 feet now. Because people are getting hit like down the right field line because they're looking down at their phones or looking at the scoreboard.
Absolutely
that
true.
That play might not have happened.
Yep. That's true.
And the ball would have hit the net, it wouldn't have counted, and a big part of baseball history would have been cut out.
How about that?
Right?
How true is that?
I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I come at it, don't I? From different angles. Now they're saying they're making this netting that you won't have the little pleats,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and it will be like you'll be invisible. They'll be like invisible. That's fine with me. I don't go to the games. But don't tell me you're paying attention and you're getting hit 270 feet down. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
Yeah.
Don't. Don't insult my intelligence and say, yeah, the ball was coming and I just let myself get hit in the face. From 250 feet away, hey, look, it happens on the field. Look what happened to the Cub pitcher. You got to pay attention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Hey, you are absolutely right about Lewis Gossett. I've got confirmation on that. He did. He did indeed lament the fact that he tore his Achilles tendon preparing
for
the movie.
How about that?
Yeah. And he said that was a huge break for me, and it really impacted his career because he didn't get another big role, as you mentioned, until The Officer and the Gentleman. He got some other roles before Officer and Gentleman, but he thought that role as Gale Sayers would have really propelled his career, and he's absolutely
right. He would have been better than Billy Dee Williams.
I agree with you. I agree.
They picked the right guys.
Mm-hmm.
James Caan is an animal, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Love him. Saw him in Thief. The only man ever to have his own bedroom at the Playboy Mansion that was a guest. very tired. Doug Buffon knew him great. Doug told me stories about James Caan, knew him great. And Doug used to go to the one in Chicago all the time. And, you know, and then they brought in Gossett. I said, this is going to be great. Then I hear he gets hurt. and work it out like a regular pro. And if you see an officer and a gentleman, I mean, he was Gale.
Yeah.
I mean, he could
really
have been
was.
Gale. And, but Billy Dee Williams did a nice job. But I thought his acting was just subpar in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I thought, the old pig, cut it out. Oh, pig. And then when people... James Caan, I mean, he's been in a lot of movies and shit. Stuff, I almost swore. A lot of movies, but that's one of his best that never gets talked about.
Yes, very, very true. The death scene was, I mean, every man who has watched
how
that movie.
How about me pulling Louis Gossett? How many people in the media do you think knew that? How about none?
Nobody, that is true. Hey, I wanted to mention one other movie idea.
No, you know,
was
probably knew Chet knew and people that were covered back then.
Oh, sure. Yes. I mean, yeah. You know, but you knew it first. That's right.
Because I just came off the top of my head. I was disappointed when it happened that he wasn't going to play him.
Oh, man. I want to share with you another movie idea that was submitted by a buddy of mine on our Facebook page. His name is Matt Solomon, and he's suggesting a movie called Birmingham Baron, The Michael Jordan Story. And what he
That's
writes,
good one.
Yeah, he says that he would love to see the story of the world's most famous athlete.
You know what? We were talking about the bear stuff, so why he's coming across as a genius. Now we could start, if we're going to go all around, I got a million movies we could make, right?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And I love this idea with Jordan kind of traveling around these buses with a bunch of guys trying to be baseball players, and they're all hanging out.
But there's not a whole lot to it besides buying the bus and hanging with them. Because even Martin Scorsese said, you know, Martin Scorsese's dream film, after all the great ones, is to make a movie on Dean Martin.
Oh, really?
So... Oh, yeah. He wants, and you can look it up. You know who he had tapped for Dean Martin?
Mm-hmm. No.
Tom Hanks.
Oh, that would have been great. Yeah.
You could look it up. Have Zim or Tooch or somebody. He was going to have, but you know what? As they did the research, he says he had a boring life. There's not enough.
Oh, really?
Sinatra's the guy you make the movies on. Martin was the guy that went home. Everybody thought he was running. Mm. The guy played golf in the morning, did his shows, and went home to Genie at night. That was it.
That's amazing.
And liked Westbrook.
And yeah, you would have thought with the whole persona for Dean Martin that he was a playboy.
Nope.
And
yep.
Do you remember the Matt Helm movies where he it was?
Oh my God!
Yeah,
I loved Matt Helm. I loved. You know what my favorite one was?
Mm-hmm.
Our Man Flint.
Yes.
With James Colbert.
Oh my goodness.
My wife and I love James Colbert. I love James Colbert. I loved him in The Magnificent Seven.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him in Hard Times with Charles Bronson. I loved him in The Great Escape. I loved him in all those. James Colbert, I loved him in Payback, which was shot in Chicago with Mel Gibson. I loved him. Affliction with Nick Nolte.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
He was like a poor man's McQueen. He was like a quiet guy. As he got more into the movies, he became a leading man. Lee Marvin, I watched The Wild Bunch the other day, 1954. He's the rival to Marlon Brando's Johnny, and I think what Lee Marvin did with his career, from being a Liberty Valance, which was not a lead role, even though the name of the movie was Liberty Valance, to this movie with The Wild Ones. I thought how he became a leading man was about as unexpected as it could be.
Yep. I agree with that. And you are absolutely right about the Tom Hanks story. I just looked that up. Martin Scorsese, indeed.
I'm on fire.
You are.
I'm on fire. I don't know. There's something wrong with me. I just remembered, like, useless stuff. But Tom Hanks, do you think he would have been good?
He would have been fabulous. Especially back
then.
Joe
Mantegna played him in the Rat Pack. He was good.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Ray Liotta played Sinatra. William Peterson, my buddy, played JFK. My other buddy, Joe Mantegna, these guys, he played Dean Martin.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. It was awesome, man. They don't show it anymore.
That's so sad. We have to start a Twitter campaign to get that movie back on television.
Absolutely, my friend.
All right, so we've gone through our movie ideas. I want to conclude the show, Mike, by talking about something. I'm in my car, and I'm listening to ESPN radio, and I hear David Kaplan, your buddy over at ESPN, recalling a story about your famous phone call with Ozzie Guillen. So
yeah.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to play a portion of this. I think I got this queued up correctly. I'm going to play a portion of this, picking up David Kaplan recalling that very famous, it's a historical, not only for Chicago sports radio, but, you know, nationwide American sports, the conversation that Ozzie and Mike North had live on the radio. This is David Kaplan's recollection of the story.
Mike and Ozzie?
Remember when Ozzie let an F-bomb or something go on the phone?
That was we were. It's funny
in an interview.
You said that.
In an interview,
so Ozzie put out the lineup for Cubs Sox on a Friday at Wrigley, and he decided to bench Pierzynski for a day and play Toby Hall.
Toby Hall.
And
remember Toby Hall?
North ripped him on the air. What a stupid lineup! Blah blah blah.
And so Ozzie called in.
Ozzie called in two F bombs and a couple other profanities later. North yelling, "Shut your damn mouth!" He hangs up on Ozzie, and then I'm in Ozzie's office at the visitors' clubhouse. I'm sitting there with Stone and Ozzie, and Ozzie's, you know how he can be. He's the greatest. He's riffing on this, and North walks in with a bag of See's candy as a peace offering. Ozzie threw it in the garbage.
Come on, Ozzie.
That is a great recollection of the story. Now, he got
that. Yeah, it is. And Cap, the only thing Cap got wrong is Ozzie hung up on me.
Exactly. I was just going
to
say that.
If you listen to the tape, if you listen to the show, Ozzie hung up on me. And I gave him I don't know what I could hear. But we hugged it out. He threw it in the basket. But Ozzie hung up on me because he knew he was wrong. And by the way, Toby Hall had two passed balls that day. He had a horrible day, and I ended up being right about that. I love Ozzie, and I have no ill will. But Ozzie did hang up, but Cap is right. And then I went down there, but I went down to the fire. When everybody else, wondering what was going to happen, I went down there. I didn't give a damn. It was fun, and it turned out going viral.
Yes, Mike, and it's reason number 1,253,201 why we love you, because you did that, because you had the balls, excuse my language, to go to the clubhouse and tell Ozzie,
right.
Hey, and Heart 4803 is saying that it's See's candy that you had, S-E-E apostrophe S candy. And
I even forgot about that. Somebody probably handed it to me because I was at High Tops.
Uh-huh.
I was across the street.
Okay.
That's how this happened.
Right.
Because we got in the argument. He heard it riding down, driving his car. So now he's listening to me just beat the crap out of him. And guess what? Toby Hall sucked. Let's go on record. And it was the first game of a series. I just thought, what are you doing? Let's try. And this is when we wanted to win. I mean, when the Cubs Sox series was just getting rolling and all this stuff. So Ozzie, well, not just getting rolling. It'd been around since 99. But then Ozzie got mad, called up, and that set everything up. So, yeah, Cap had that pretty well down, except the fact Ozzie hung up, which was a good thing,
in my
opinion, because it wasn't going to go anywhere anyway. Ozzie thrown out in the garbage didn't surprise me. That's okay, But I did come down there, and guess what Ozzie did? Nothing but hug me. We hugged each other.
That
was
awesome.
It. It was over.
That is awesome.
Well, you know what? Like the other day, everybody's making a big deal about this dude that this pitcher that went after the New York guy,
right,
the writer.
Right. I saw
that. I was the just six. Mark Carrier, Trace Armstrong.
I saw that.
I mean, they all want Billy Williams. I mean,
my gosh.
Albert Bell. They all wanted to knock me out. Mark Carrier, but you know what? I respected them. It was the 100 others that wanted to knock me out that wouldn't say so.
Mm-hmm.
Or wanted to confront me that didn't want to, including media. So that's fine with me. I like those guys. And plus, there were more. You know what? There were other guys that were mad at me that I knew that were mad at me. And that's fine. That's my job. They got mad. They didn't know. And so you know what I told them?
Mm-hmm. I'm not coming to the locker room anymore. If you guys have a problem, I called every franchise. Mm-hmm. If you guys tell your guys, White Sox, if you have a problem with me, come to the studio. Guess how many people came?
Nobody.
None. Nobody. Yeah, you're going down to their turf. The teams are alerting that you're going down there. The White Sox used to say, hey, like little girls, hey, Nor's coming. Nor this guy's coming. Or that guy's coming. And so the players would be ready. So then I started saying, guess what? If you got a problem with me, come to the studio. And they didn't, period.
I love it.
But that's a good description by Cap.
Yeah, he did a nice job, and I just happened to be in the radio, and I'm listening to this. I go, I got to find that clip and play it for Mike on the show. Really well done.
And also, let me just say this. Cap works with Ozzy.
That's right.
So I'm sure they've had some great conversations on it. Oh, yes. I've never been. Hey, you would be blockbusters, but they'll never do it if me and Ozzy came on together.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
They might get some high ratings.
Especially after the Sox game, right?
Right.
Unbelievable. Great stuff, Mike. Why don't you tell us about Vegas scores and odds before we sign off, okay?
Oh, you know what? Once again, folks, we love these people. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419. Right now, win with me. 1-800-808-3419. Tony Zacco, Ray Monty, and Mike North, Dennis Macklin, all the guys. Check them out. Follow at VSAO. That's it for today, everybody.
That is it. And I just want to remind people that I Have a Stream is going to be on Mixler tonight at 8 p.m. Central. Yeah, they're going to talk about a couple of movies. They're going to talk about what you can find on Netflix. They're going to have a lot of great fun. It's a very entertaining show done by guys who are just really passionate about streaming movies and so forth. It's John Santucci, Joe Mandel, and a number of guests. So tune in for that. It'll be on your podcast stream in the morning. And this show here, if you're listening live, tell your friends that they can listen to this version of Vegas Scores and Odds presents the Mike North Advantage on their podcast stream. Just search Bears Ballroom Radio Network and you will find the Mike North Advantage right there for your amusement and entertainment. Mike North, I love you. Thank you very much. Say goodbye to your friends.
I love you too, Eldo. Okay. Hey, to everybody at the ballroom, football's coming. Stay tuned, but we're filling it up.